This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone, reporting from Liberia under the wing of Rodney Sia, editor of Front Page Africa.
See, this is LIB24, redefining broadcasting in Liberia.
Today, Rodney, May, Mira, and I are dropping in on a live radio show hosted by the magnanimous Mary Williams.
Our guests are.
Well, we have a guest in town for the next seven days from On the Media program. It's a media analytical program that comes on NPR radio once a week. Mm-hmm. This is Brooke Gladstone. She's the host. This is her producer, Mira Sharma.
Welcome to our studios.
Thank you so much for letting us invade.
Thank you.
The reason why we're here is simply to report the story from a Liberian perspective.
Are you aware that we have another issue, actually, which the Supreme Court says there's a stay on the elections? So we're like, oh, okay, really? Why is there a stay on the elections? I've never seen anything like this before. We had an Ebola situation. Election was supposed to be held on the 14th of October, which is what the Constitution says. Now, we had Ebola, so common sense will tell you you can't hold the election. But other people said, well, there's going to be a constitutional crisis if the election is not held this year. How long are you in town for?
We're here for a week.
How are you dealing with the accent, though? Are you dealing, understanding the accent?
We were having a discussion about that. The accent is very tricky. One expression is, which was... Say that again, May.
A white woman coming.
So now I know when I hear that. Usually with applause.
Should you have a question for our guests, please feel free and ask it. Call 0777-221111. You can call that number now. 0777-221111. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes.
I want to say hi to the white woman there.
You want to say hi to the white woman?
Yeah, I want to say hi to her. You know, I listen to her. Also, I must say, I find it difficult to understand her.
Rodney, the interpreter. Rodney will interpret.
You heard Mary refer to a stay on the Senate election, already twice delayed, now scheduled for December 16th. If it doesn't happen, half the 30-member Senate will be unseated, leaving 15, and 16 are needed for the final passage of a law. They could convene an interim government, but given Liberia's history of instability and civil war, few openly favor that. Then again, no one wants to get sick either. Such issues are argued in tea house debating clubs called hatai, filled to the rafters with fiery young men with lots of time on their hands. We visit one such club, the Center for the Exchange of Intellectual Opinions, which is a cement room on a crowded street with a zinc roof. The topic is the Supreme Court's pending decision on whether to delay the election. On this day, Stephen Colley of Front Page Africa is running the show.
So what is the name?
This is Joseph Jeremiah, testimony in Barclay.
What is your opinion on the elections?
The international community will refer to us as stupid people who do not care for the life of our people. Laws are made to protect the healthiness of our society. So if our people are not being protected under our laws, those laws can still be revisited. You cannot have this reckless virus that our people are succumbing to day by day. Even on their sick bed, they're going for election. It's laughable, it's draconian, it's ill-fated, and it's backward.
Thank you very much. So what is your name?
Franklin Kasewise, executive chairman of the Center for the Exchange of Intellectual Opinions.
Do you think elections should go ahead or elections should be postponed?
Election must be held. If you look at those cleverly agitating for the cancellation of election, these are people who have been calling for the resignation of the president. They are on record. People are yearning for an opportunity to refactor themselves back into the matrix of power. They feel that establishment of an interim leadership will bring them back into the fray.
These guys are preaching for the safety of the country. Do you think Liberia is safe right now to have people clustered together, having elections and so forth?
The argument is very lazy. A very lazy argument that rests on a slippery hill. Why are you now calling for the closure of the marketplaces and all entertainment centers? Because the probable, suspected, and confirmed cases of Ebola had dropped considerably. Any attempt to now hold election before January 16 the president of the nation will be addressing a makeshift legislature. This country is bleeding. The good people of Liberia will prevail over the handful of narrow-minded and evil-minded individuals.
Thank you very much.
The information minister is coming here.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
in less than 5 minutes, you'll be here.
The next day, the center was hosting the Minister of Information.
Members of CEO, sympathizers, well-wishers, we are privileged to have in our midst today, for the first time, the Honorable Minister of Information for Cultural Affairs and Tourism. The tough-talking, very eloquent, a sophisticated intellectual. Honorable Minister, this is the Center for the Exchange of Intellectual Opinions. This is that platform that commands critical minds on a daily basis who assemble here to cross-pollinate ideas of critical national concerns. If for any reason you can boast that your government is plying the route of the right trajectory, it's as a result of the views you sample from the ambience of the intellectual centers across the length and breadth of the Republic. We are happy to have you here, Honorable Minister, but I crave your indulgence to please take the glass of atai. This substance is what we take here that stimulates our intellectual nerves.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay.
Good afternoon to all of you. People have asked me all sorts of questions. Minister Brown, one time you were the president's harshest critic. I am convinced the president has asked me to serve in this government, not to shut me up, because to shut me up is a very difficult thing. She said, notwithstanding your serious foundational principle disagreement, I believe that we can find a common ground by which your talent and mine can be used in the best interest of our people. And I said, yes. No regrets one day for my decision. I will disagree with you on your politics and on my principles. But as to whether or not we can work together to lift up ordinary Liberians like you, there will be no disagreement in me. I know where I have come from.
He talked for an hour, but never genuinely engaged in the promised intellectual exchange of opinions. He wasn't big on that. And yet, he insists the president is. It's clear that Rodney's view is that officials should not be given a choice in the matter. When he launched Front Page Africa while working for a newspaper in Parsippany, New Jersey, he filled it not only with original reporting, but with opinions across the Liberian diaspora.
I started Front Page Africa with one laptop. It was a Dell computer. And I sat in my apartment in New Jersey. I had one correspondent in Liberia, then two, then three. I used my paycheck in America to pay them. Critics said, oh, you're in America writing about the government, and you're not in Liberia. It got to me, and I said, you know what? I'm going to go back home. I knew that it would be difficult because the stories we did on the internet had stepped on a lot of people's toes. When we got home, we had two arson attempts on our building to try to burn us down. People sabotaging our equipment. Later on, we started getting arrests. The first time was a commentary about a 13-year-old girl who was raped. The writer said the Supreme Court was biased in the case, and I was called to explain why I published the commentary. They asked me questions about what school do you go to? I mean, what qualifies you as a journalist? Badgering me like a criminal. And I told them, I said, without due respect, the opinion pages is like a marketplace of ideas, and you're behaving like dictators. Then last year, we, of course, got a 5,000-year sentence. I spent 50 days in the prison, 8 prisoners in the room. That was very small. And the toilet was also the shower. It's a big hole, and they had like a footstool on top of it for you to shower, and then when you're sleeping, the hole is still open. So you're all inhaling that thing from the hole. And I think that's why I got sick. You don't want to be a human being in that place. That place is for dogs.
Tell me about your parents.
So my mother had epilepsy. My father was an engineer. He was the first librarian engineer to get a scholarship to America. He was a very smart guy, but he had a weakness in drinking. So he wasn't really there for us. He would take me into the bar sometimes to watch him drink and leave me there. And then his friends would pick me up and take me home the next day. I was raised with my aunt and uncle. And they taught me a lot about discipline, about going for what you want in life and getting it.
Journalism? Why would that even occur to you?
My late grand uncle, Albert Port, he published a pamphlet that had a lot of information about corruption, about nepotism.
Did it come out once a week?
It came out when he felt like writing. So he was jailed for writing about corruption.
Did you know your uncle?
I was in high school when he died. Saturdays, he would prepare the church for Sunday service. And he was in the church bell hall one time, and when he rang the bell, the bees came and just swarmed him. And that's how he died. The funeral was massive. People came from all over the place. He was not a very wealthy man. He had nothing much, but he changed the way people see things in Liberia.
So did he ever say to you, Rodney, follow in my footsteps?
I think it came naturally. In high school, I worked in the newspaper. And then the war came, I worked for the BBC. And when the military took over in 1994, and they kicked me out, I went to London, spent some time there, and I went to the States. I got asylum, entered Hunter College. They sent me to Kansas City Star as an intern, the New York Star Ledger, and then the Syracuse Post Standard. And then I graduated, they hired me as my first job.
Mm-hmm. And then the horrible snows fell.
The horrible snow fell. And so I moved to Virginia, the Virginia Daily News. And I came back to Jersey on the East Coast with Persephone Daily Record. And it was there I stayed until I decided that the print media was kind of getting challenging in America.
You think?
So I started Front Page Africa.
This is going to be a weird question. One thing that Mira and I noticed is that you seem really jazzed and really sad.
Yeah, I mean, besides my uncle Albert Port, my next person that I admired was my uncle Kenneth Best. In him, I saw someone who I could emulate, I could model my life after. When Samuel Doe closed down his paper, The Observer, in the 80s, I went to his house. His wife made bread to sell to help the family stay afloat. And I sold the bread when the paper was operating. After school, I took the papers in the streets. Buy your Observer, buy your Observer. And I wanted to be him. He was in the States. He came to me to help him start the Observer again. So I started the online Observer. But there was a lot of stories that we ran that he didn't like. So we butt heads a lot of time. His friend, the ambassador to the U.S. at the time.
Which embassy?
The Liberian embassy in Washington. Mm. The audit report was done on the embassy funding. They funneled money through the embassy to the States. And we did a story about it, and he didn't like it. He told me to retract the story. I said, I can't do it. And that's how we fell apart. And I started Front Page Africa.
Does he talk to you anymore?
We don't speak. If I see him, I will pass. Only because I've tried speaking to him, he won't speak to me. So I stopped trying. All I ever wanted to do in life was to emulate what he was doing. And I can, for the life of God, figure out why he hates me so much. I hope that one day, before I die or he dies, we can make peace. but I don't see it because the friction has gone beyond a point of being repaired.
Can I ask whether you want to have a family?
I've tried. I've had relationships that could have been more serious, but because I was trying to start Front Page Africa, I had a lot of people who didn't have patience. They left me.
Of course, you never let your staff off, so you have them around.
Yeah, I mean, we spend a lot of time together. I think they like what they do. When I came from prison, they had a big ceremony in the streets. There was a parade and stuff. And I broke down and was crying, and people didn't understand why I was crying. It's like those people stood by me. They were offered jobs. They could have gone anywhere and left me when I was in the lowest moment, but they stayed behind because they know that deep down, I cursed them at times. I slammed the doors and crashed the doors, but they know that I try to make them the best that they can be. And that's why I think they stayed.
You love them.
Yeah.
Let me just stipulate for the purposes of a hypothetical that you're not getting along with your uncle now because you confronted him with his limitation. His friends, his alliances with President Sirleaf, these were things that he decided he didn't want to compromise with uncompromising journalism. Can you see at some point when you're older, maybe as old as your uncle is, the prospect of prison or the promise of an easier life, that you might find yourself in his position sometime?
I hope not. I won't lie to you, I can never say never. The reason I don't have too many friends here is like people who think they're my friends, they figure that because you're a friend of theirs, you have to protect them. And this country is very fragile, it's very small. Everybody knows somebody. I get calls every day from people who say, how could you do that to your friend? And what can I tell them? We're just doing the job.
Sounds lonely.
It is. It is. That's why people, they don't see me out. So they sometimes say, I think he's gay. We haven't seen a woman before, so he must be gay. And I take it in stride because that's the work I chose to do. During the war, I was a refugee. My epilepsy mother was in a wheelbarrow. I took her from place to place. I've seen dead bodies floating on the rivers. I've seen my friends get shot. I came close to being killed several times during the war. You want to celebrate the fact that you came back home to help start a vibrant paper and a vibrant democracy. I don't do it because I hate the government. I'm not anti-government. I am pro-Liberia. Transparency, accountability, those are the things that the lack of them took us to years of civil war. If we don't tell the people what's happening here, they will continue doing what they're doing. It's going to be like a recurring dream we're having. They will hate you for what you write, but we need to tell these stories in a way that I think only we can.
When Rodney was arrested that second time, thousands of people filled the courtyard and the street to obstruct the police taking him to Monrovia's South Beach prison. This came up during a car ride.
Hey, Brooke.
Yeah?
It's my song.
A favorite song? No, a song in which he's named in conjunction with freedom of speech. Turns out Rodney's kind of a folk hero.
They say freedom of speech, yeah. Rodney see you talk, they care, they brother soft speech.
What was that?
Rodney see you
talking, brother.
He's in the song.
They say freedom of speech, but Rodney see you talk, they carrying into soft speech. You think that joke?
Decision got when we had a bag in the street to pay the hospital bill. They say freedom of speech, yeah. Rodney see you talk, they care, they brother soft.
It says something about Liberia, that even with its dismal economics, politics, and disease, there is engagement, commitment, the power to, at the very least, shame people who abuse the public trust, and the courage to do it. People ask a lot if I was afraid of getting sick. I wasn't, not once. I was careful and hanging around careful people living meaningful lives. Ebola has publicly exposed Liberia's vulnerabilities. And the higher the stakes, the more journalism matters. Even before Ebola, Rodney was making a difference here. Ebola generously brought us to him, but it wouldn't let us shake his hand.